Hello, my name is Jeb, and welcome to my Philosophy Corner. In this talk, I'll be looking at the internet and democracy and asking whether the symbiosis between the two has been healthy. To do this, I'm going to look at the political, philosophical idea of the public sphere as discussed by this German philosopher named Habermas. The argument is that the public sphere is an essential component for a democracy, as it allows citizens to exercise their collective will. I'm going to be introducing two sides to the question of whether or not the internet can be considered this public sphere. That is us going online, talking, sharing, and engaging with others and information a way for us to create a kind of collective understanding or a collective agreement on things? So to start, let's talk about this word, public sphere. It was a term first used by this philosopher Habermas. Public, meaning of or concerning the people as a whole, and sphere being an all-encompassing and open shape. A public sphere then, according to Habermas, is made up of private people or citizens gathered together as a public and articulating the needs of a society within the state. It's sort of a middleman between the collective citizens and the government. Citizens come together, discuss, and decide on what the public opinion is. It's a way of generating this public opinion to give to those in power. In a democratic sense, the public sphere is supposed to steer the government's activities. That is, it's sort of a necessary core entity for a democracy to be healthy. Since democracy, in its essence, is a power structure in which the people exercise power. Now, there are four components that are necessary and essential for a well-functioning public sphere, according to Habermas. The first is active participation, both for voting and discussion. Citizens ought to be active in the way they engage with the public sphere. The second is autonomy, that the sphere is free of state and commercial influence, free and open deliberation. The third is that it requires mass media, which also ought to be free of influence. The media provides the information, the space, and the critique for a society. Without a substantial and as objective as possible media, citizens are left in the dark. The fourth and final component is the discussion process. That is, this public sphere has a kind of guideline, which drives the communication. It gives structure and natural arrangement to the public sphere. Without these four components satisfied, a public sphere is at risk of being weak, misused, or manipulated. So, now we understand the public sphere. It allows citizens of a democracy to do, well, democracy. There are the four components necessary for the health of this public sphere: active, autonomous, good media backing, and an effective process. Now, we can ask ourselves, is the internet a public sphere? Does it generate a genuine public opinion? Does it satisfy the four components? There could be a variety of answers to these questions, and I'm going to look at two general arguments here, one for yes and one for no. Now, for some, after hearing about this term public sphere and what is necessary for it, the internet seems like an obvious example of such. There have been instances of where social media played a vital role in creating a collective and public opinion on some issue. Think, for example, the murder of George Floyd and others at the hands of law enforcement, and the digital public outcry that followed. Another could be the Egyptian Revolution, where internet users were able to discuss and organize against an oppressive government regime. For the components of a digital public sphere, it certainly seems to be the case that users and citizens are active. We share and discuss the various kinds of articles and stories about what's going on. For most countries, the internet is an autonomous entity as well. While the government observes the internet for potential dangers, it does not have any direct control over it. Only the companies that own the various platforms. And with only a few exceptions to the rule, these companies have shown a supposed neutrality in their activity. The internet also provides the environment for a plethora of media outlets to share the content. There is information, space, and critique that covers all areas of a society and the world. We stand at a point in history where your average person has access to more information in a day than most people before couldn't even imagine. As for the process, everyone on the surface is given equal opportunity to voice their opinion. We engage online in what appears to be an orderly fashion. A like becomes a vote, a comment is a point to make. For those who take the internet to be a public sphere, it perhaps looks like the public sphere incarnate. It's an exemplary case of citizens exercising deliberation and their collective will. Though, there is another argument to make that questions both the big picture of the digital public sphere and the small components that are necessary for its health. For others, including myself, it seems impossible to accept the internet as this public sphere. That while on the surface it appears to be the case, once one starts peeling back the layers, the truth shows itself. That it is a simulation of this public sphere, representing itself as such, but with nothing substantial to show underneath. That while there have been cases in which the internet has been used to generate a collective opinion and will of citizens, these have been the exception, not the rule. Looking at the four components for a public sphere which show this to be the case. One thing I think we can all admit, regardless of our position on this overall question of a digital public sphere, is the active participation of users. It would be a difficult hill to die on to say that people overall are not active online. The autonomy, however, is suspect at best. A public sphere cannot genuinely operate if the government or businesses are able to influence the deliberation of citizens. In arguably any country, the government can find a way to influence this public sphere online, with political advertisements, media usage, and even outright propaganda. This could reverse the very process of the public sphere itself, as now it is not the middleman between the people and the government, but the government to the people. Those in power can incept ideas that present themselves within online discussion. Businesses, too, can influence the discourse with advertisements and media. While Habermas argued for mass media being an essential component for a healthy public sphere, the internet has redefined this word mass. Strictly speaking, there is too much information, too many opinions, critiques, and spaces online to substantiate a public sphere. It is a chaotic mess. We all engage online with a completely different set of information, which isn't inherently bad, but makes a collective understanding nearly impossible. We choose which media we think best represents our worldview, dragging us deeper into a polarized environment. Media outlets, too, are not as objective as they may let on. Most media companies in the US, for example, are owned by a handful of individuals, like how the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. For other countries, the major news outlets are owned through the government themselves. There is a vested interest in producing some desired outcome for these medias, not a genuine representation. The information we see online is both a chaotic amalgamation and a tool of the powerful. The final component of a deliberative process is also riddled with problems. We all engage in a seemingly equal environment. However, there are individuals who are given a louder voice, while others are swept under the rug. Facebook, for instance, created a whitelist for prominent figures who can say and post just about anything without consequences. And verified individuals are even given priority on comment sections on Twitter. Reddit, too, with its upvote and downvote system, pushes comments to the front and back depending on their popularity. Another example of a botched process is with Facebook's Meaningful Social Interactions, or MSI, system, which gives higher priority to posts that invoke a more emotional response. The process, then, is not one dictated by an equal opportunity for all to engage with the discussion, but one that is dominated by a select few and data analytics. For the argument against the internet being a public sphere, it seems that the supposed socialization and democratic capabilities of the internet do not hold up once one digs deep enough. It is a facade. The public opinion generated online is either enigmatic or manipulated. So now, what do you think? Can the internet be considered this public sphere, as the philosopher Habermas described? Can we as citizens engage online in a way that produces a genuine public opinion? If not, what should we change to ensure a better digital public sphere? Let me know what you think, and I'll talk to you next time.